This week in Hey the Parents, we are talking about the day you have been saving and planning for. M-I-C-K, why you ask? Because we are hitting the park for part two of our Disney episode series. We are going to discuss the rides, the food, and some experiences that we really enjoyed. Is it a pirate's life for me? Is it time to fly the Millennium Falcon? Are you ready to finish each other's sandwiches? Because in this episode, we try the gray stuff, it's delicious, eat with our favorite mouse chef, and drink some blue milk while heading to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters. So won't you be our guest? Because in this episode of Hey the Parents, we'll help you make it a small world after all, with the rides and with the food. And of course, we talk about when we were younger, mishaps with our own kids, and what the supposed experts say. Because it's the three of us and all of you. I'm Michael Hite.
I'm Sarah D.
And I'm Mike Levine.
Kids don't come with a handbook, so we need your help.
Where do babies come from?
Where do you think they come from?
Is this a kissing book?
Mama! Mama!
What?
Hi.
I learned it by watching you.
There are no rules in this house. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
We sent them to the best boarding schools. We hired the best nannies. We did everything right. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
No drinking, no drugs, no kissing, no tattoos, no piercings, no ritual animal slaughters of any kind.
Together, we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
This is Hey Other Parents, an honest, messy, imperfect show for raising kids.
Hey, it's us again. Welcome back.
What's up?
What's up, Michael Levine? What's up, good friend? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So this week, Sarah will not be joining us. She's been super busy with family, sports, with Sophia. It's Jean's birthday. So happy birthday to Jean. But this week, it's going to be me and
happy
Mike.
Happy birthday. It's just the boys, just the bros.
So listen, when Sarah's not here, we could get a little off topic, as you may be surprised. But in honor of May the 4th, we are going to try our best to stay on target. That will be the first of many Star Wars references this episode. So if this is the first time joining us on this podcast, Hey the Parents, it is a chance for a few of us parents who decide that we need to join our efforts together to try to get this, as we call it, a survival course. We decided to do this from the standpoint where we were younger, when we grew up with our own parents, and then we shift on over to now as adults when we did not get a handbook with our own kids. We just talk a little bit about what we go through, we share our experiences, we learn from each other, and then we hear a little bit from the experts, and every week we feel a little bit better because we have each other and we have all of you. So if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, we'll tell you a little later in the show on how you can get in touch with us here. But without further ado, we're going to jump right into the main part of the podcast. On this episode, like the last one, we need to jump right in because we have so much to talk about. So last week,
it is the fun part.
It is, because on last week, on our first Disney episode, we talked about a few ways to save money with food, delivery ideas, buying multiple days of tickets, how the Disney app works, how the Magic Band works, the Genie Plus, some quick tips to help those feet, and a few ways to help those, what do we call them? Feet, and a few ways to make it special. We're going to keep the same idea going, and on this episode, we're going to assume that this is also maybe your first time going with your kids. This might be the end-all, be-all trip that you were planning for, i.e. do it once, and they better remember, or maybe not. But either way, I think that we can share some of our experiences that may give you a little comfort. Just a little reminder that we are not being endorsed or paid by anyone for this, so all the information that we provide to you, whether it's right or wrong, it's all from us. These are decisions that we went through with our parents, our family. So we'll let you know kind of how that went and what we went through. We're going to think of this episode as a little bit of a zoomed in episode. We're going to give you some insight on the foods and the rides. We're going to be discussing our favorite attractions, some of our favorite quick order or sit down eats that work best for our families. And we are hoping to help out Sarah D and others like her who haven't gone as a family yet. Mike Levine's been a number of times. I went over the summer. So I think we're going to learn a lot from each other on this second part of our Disney run of episodes. Mike Levine, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready to do this. We're just here to help out our listeners, help each other out. You know, we're just shooting the breeze. Let's do it.
So slightly before the show, we actually were talking. And what's kind of interesting about this one is that I have not been to all the parks. Mike Levine also has been to all the parks, but he hasn't been to Epcot recently. So when we get to those, we'll tell you a little bit from our own experiences, but between the two of us, we do have it kind of covered. Yeah, exactly. So I just real fast, just so like, you know, just get this out, you know, I have to just get it all out there. I got to tell the truth. So when I was younger, I had the experience where, I was scared. I had the bejeebers scared out of me from a little ride known as Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Now, that ride is gone now. That ride is only in California.
Mr. Toad?
So that ride was supposed to be fun, but for me it was scary. And I remember that when I was younger, we went to Disney. Between that and my dad taking me on Space Mountain and me screaming, "Don't ever take me on that ride again," the only ride that brought me comfort was "It's a Small World After All." So I think in honor of that, we're going to go right into, we're going to jump in first with, when we get to it, we're going to jump into Magic Kingdom. I want to explain real fast how this episode is going to work. What we're going to do is we're going to go through each park separately, and each park we're going to talk about the food on the quick service, just so you know some of the vocabulary. Quick service is like the fast food that you can kind of pick up quickly, and then the sit-down reservations is more of like a traditional restaurant.
Yeah.
Then we're going to be talking about the rides that were some of our favorites, meeting some characters, and then we'll talk about the celebration, how the park closes and stuff at night. But real fast, a couple things at the top of the show, just to kind of go through a couple quick things. One, remember that the Genie Plus thing was an optional thing you could pay for that could give you kind of like a bonus to get you like to a ride faster. You could book those things in advance. You don't have to, but it was for us, it worked for us. Two, individual lightning lanes were things where you could book rides that were not on Genie Plus, but those are very specific rides and high-end rides that people really want to get onto. They are ones that could give you a chance to get on rides that you went to Disney specifically for. We'll tell you as we go through the parks, like those are really important ones. I have to make a correction. I actually messed something up. And of course, who corrected me? My oldest son, Jacob. So who knew that an 11-year-old would figure stuff out? He's awesome. So it turns out that for Tron and Guardians, I made a mistake. Those were not individual lightning lanes. To make it even more possibly confusing, is there's a fourth thing on the Genie app, and that is called a virtual queue. So for virtual queues, you get a chance twice a day to get onto those rides, and that was a 7 a.m. and 11 and 1 o'clock p.m. But for those, that you didn't have to pay extra. You would just kind of try to get into those virtual queues or get on the line through the app. So when we talk about those rides or those parks, just know that the Guardians and the Tron that I maybe misrepresented last episode with like having to pay specifically to get on those rides, that's a virtual queue, meaning like it's almost like buying concert tickets or getting your space in line, that you have twice a day to get into like a time slot. And if you don't get it, you won't get on the ride. But those are the at 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. So those are the two things. Seasonal things that can affect the experience could be two things. One is that you can have, seasonal things. You could have a thing where, number one, there's like an event going on. So for example, like towards the end of the summer and the beginning of the fall, there's a Halloween event. So that affected Magic Kingdom. And for the days I had this Magic Kingdom Halloween bash, you would have had to pay extra for the Halloween party, which is really cool. But if you don't get in, if you don't buy tickets for the Halloween party, you have to leave the park at 6:30 or 6 o'clock. So you cannot stay the full time unless you buy the tickets. So keep that in mind. And with your travel person, whatever else, sometimes you can move around your day so that it doesn't fall on a day where something like that is going on. Because if either it sells out or you don't want to spend money on that, you don't have to, and you can kind of move things around. The thing that we're going to be speaking mostly to is a food festival that happens in the summer, because we both went really during the summer. That's a kind of an Epcot thing. There's the art festival that's really cool. The flower festival is really cool. And each of those has their own foods and stuff like that. But we're speaking more specifically to maybe like the summery time of the year. So that's kind of where our comfort level is. So just keep that in mind in the back of your head. You could go online and look on the website to find out more about that. One cool thing that we're going to be talking about, because we're not going to be talking about these things when we get to the parks. That's why I'm kind of blowing through some of these things. One is, here's a trick in American culture. Most things go to the right. So if there's lines that go to the left and the right, here's your golden ticket. Go to the left. And usually there's a shorter line. Another thing we're going to talk about too, real fast. We didn't talk about it last episode. There's something called rider swap, not ride or swap. You're a rider and you're swapping. So if you decide that you and your family, you have a small one like we do, we have a four-year-old, and the four-year-old will lose his mind if he goes on a certain ride or what other hypothetical experience, what you can do is like one adult can go, you can get on the line, you get through the process, you walk up to the individual, the lightning lane, whatever it is, and then you tell the person there that you have this, you've booked the ride, but what you want to do is this rider swap option. So then what happens is, they kind of like add half of your party back into the queue. And then what happened is, like, for example, you could have it so that like one adult has to be with the younger kid who's not going to go on the ride. So they're kind of like babysitting in a sense while another adult goes on the ride with the other kids. Then when you get off the ride, the other adult could go back on, could now go on the ride, and then you swap. And then sometimes the Disney people are really cool, and they'll be like, you could just bring one of the kids if you want. So then one of your kids could actually ride the ride twice, which is really neat. So that's really, really beneficial when you have a ride that you're like, there's no way that my younger one, or maybe somebody is, gets like a little seasick or car sick, whatever, motion sickness, and they're like, you can't leave them by themselves. So rider swap is perfect for that scenario. Each park has its own nighttime experience. We're going to be talking about that as well as this episode. There are the food experiences. We're just going to get this out of the way now so you kind of understand the concept. Reservations, I mean, what needs to be explained? You know what a reservation is. Those are great for when it rains, when you get out of the heat, when you want to meet some characters. We'll talk about that. Then there's quick service. Don't think of quick service as fast food. Just think of it as some of the food they have at Disney you can get quickly without a reservation, where you walk up and you pay for it like a Chipotle and then you walk away with it, right? You could do that on the app. You pay for it early. Cool. Great. The seasonal food festival stuff, that you could think of as like quick service because it's like a food stall you walk up to. And in Epcot, that's some of the most fun that you're going to have with eating. Yes, food and eating is fun. All right, off-site. We're also going to be talking about off-site. When we refer to off-site, what we mean is like not one of the parks, but maybe like a resort or Disney Springs, we used to be called Downtown Disney, or something like that. We'll talk about that as well. All right, so no more explaining, no more vocabulary, no more preface? What am I saying? No more preface to this whole thing. No more disclaimers. We're going to jump right into this stuff. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to go, like I said before, we're going to go through the park, each park one at a time, the food, the rides, and then the end of the night celebration, and then we are moving on. All right, Mike Levine, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready.
All right, so
let's do it.
Why don't we start with the ye olde favorite, Magic Kingdom? Magic Kingdom.
Oh, that's where all the magic happens.
Quick overview, right? Magic Kingdom is what, Mike? It's like the traditional Disney characters, right? The Mickey, Mickey, Pluto, oh, yeah. Daisy, Minnie, all those great characters,
the
right?
Palace right in the center. You have all the different zones, Frontierland, Adventureland, you know, all those different zones. And you have, you, when you walk into the kingdom, you're, it's like, okay, do I make a left, a right? Do I go straight? Where do I go?
And you're on Main Street, right? You walk into like, you start out, they literally call it Main Street, right? You are on like, you're like in this old town, there's like trolley going by, you got the music. You walk in and you are, and Mike said it, you don't know if you walk left or right, but then you also have this problem where like, part of your heart is racing because you have to like try to get to the rides and do things, and then another part of you is like nostalgia factor times 100, where you're like walking around, you see the castle, and then you have this photo pass thing that maybe you got, and you're like, but we have to stop for a picture. So now all of these thoughts are going through your mind, but whatever, cool, get your picture, do your thing. We're not telling you like, how to go about your rides today. We're just gonna tell you what we liked and what we didn't, so go ahead.
And this is like, this is the icon that you see on every Disney movie, where they have the little castle and then the little star that shoots across the castle. Like, this is Disney. When you think of Disney, this is where you want to be.
Man.
You walk up, you see that castle, you see the trains, you see everything. So this is the main stop, the main hub.
So a quick little pointer just to help you out a little bit. Some of the food and things we're going to be talking about are in the Main Street section. That just means that like the first, like, I don't know what it is, like the first quarter of a mile of the place is like just this town.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things there. So when you hear the word Main Street, just know that it's somewhere in the vicinity of that area. Now, just a quick pointer, because this is like one of those weird things. If you're doing the photo pass, if you're facing the castle, as you're walking down Main Street, there's like a bunch of like grassy fields and stuff like that. This is bizarre. There's a bunch of grass and stuff on the right hand side. As you start to leave Main Street and you go into this like big like flowery area before you kind of like get into the park part, like after you leave Main Street, on the right hand side, as you're in that like pavilion where like everybody's taking pictures and stuff, there's this like little grassy area. That person there, you'll see it on your app, that person there is doing the crazy picture where they zoom out and zoom into the castle. So if you're looking for that, you'll know what I'm talking about. You start to go through the stuff, like there's one picture in every park or two where they like zoom out. And then like it's obviously not really your picture anymore, but what they do is they use this technology where like it turns into like a picture of you and then zooms out into this big like panoramic humongous picture of the park. It's really cool. So that's where that one is. But if I remember where the other ones are, I'll try to tell you. But anyway, so
this is where your itinerary comes in. This is where you have to plan out because there's just so much. As soon as you walk into Main Street, like we said, it's like, I think there's like six places you could go. Tomorrowland, Liberty Square, Fantasyland. So you really just kind of want to have the plan of where you want to go for that day, because there's a lot.
So when we start to tell you the rides, maybe like once you pick out like your favorite rides, like we said, if you're a Genie Plus, you're going to get in, and if you're staying in a resort, you're going to have an early, and maybe you'll book it to one of those locations to start, and that'll sort of dictate where you go from there. Or at 7 a.m. or 9 a.m. when you book your first ride, maybe that'll kind of dictate where you go. But I agree, Mike, a plan is a beautiful thing, right? But a plan is not a promise, kids, because it doesn't mean it has to always work out exactly right. So check it out. Let's start with some food stuff, if that's cool with you. A couple of the things that were, I actually had to source out some of this stuff from some of our friends, Bridget and Liam, who are on our other podcast, Campaign. They're big Disney people. And some of our experience with some friends from Taekwondo and then things that we had. So enough of that. So here we go. The cinnamon rolls at Gaston's Tavern are a must. If you're a cinnamon roll person, that is probably going to be a highlight for you. There's also the cheeseburger spring rolls. Those are another nice little touch. Now, a lot of these little food places are going to have like your typical, like, you know, french fries, hamburgers, hot dogs, that whole thing. But like, those are some things. The Dole Whip, which is the famous thing that they're kind of known for. That's the like frozen pineapple ice cream. There's a lot of copycats, but there's not too many OGs. So that's probably where you want to go with that. There's also the that's near like the Jungle Cruise place. On there's also a hot dog place on Main Street. And as you start to like get towards dinner time, if you maybe you're making your way like towards the front of the park, you're getting ready for the nighttime stuff, there's a hot dog place that's pretty good, but their corn dog bites kind of saved us. So that was kind of right there in the front. And there's also, if you decide to be a maniac like we had the, there's this thing called the kitchen sink ice cream. It's basically like a little sink that looks like Mickey's trousers. And then the whole family shares germs and they share G-Mongus ice cream sundae. That's a kitchen sink ice cream. That was a lot of fun as well. Mike, do you have any other like quick service places that come to mind or little eats and things like that?
Don't forget about Liberty Square. They have the turkey legs.
So wait, now that is that's the Thanksgiving dinner basically that Liam was telling us about?
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah, it may be. I don't know. But I remember when I went to like Liberty Square, they had like these carts and you could just order like a straight turkey
leg. Oh, like a quick service.
You know? Yeah, like a quick service thing. Yeah, you know, it was one of those areas, quick service food. You know, hot dog, turkey leg, soda, whatever. You know, I went straight for the turkey leg. Always a great fun adventure eating that thing. Although you look like a Neanderthal.
I love
but,
it.
You know, it is what it is.
So not just for Renaissance festivals anymore, friends. But there's also what do you call it? They also have the basically whatever Disney calls them, whatever the Disney version of Slurpees are. They also have those there too. There's the red and blue. Slurpees, which are probably like one of the best things to have when your kids are like overheated. Kids, you are too. Those are also in the same vicinity. Cool. I love that. So, and then popcorn is definitely a must, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but one thing we always did was when we went to this parks for my family is we always were like, oh, just whatever quick dining we saw, we would pick, but we would make sure we picked one sit down dinner and like or sit down lunch that we would have at these parks. And the one that we did at Magic Kingdom was Be Our Guest. Like we did the Be Our Guest Beauty and Beast experience, but it has changed from when we went last. You know, it used to be a more of a kind of I want to say
it's like more chiller, like a lighter
not chill
like a more
like a lighter yeah. Yes.
Like less stress, like not
a lighter
fine
dining experience. Like, yeah, but it has actually gone up. Like, it's like $50 to $100 a person now, you know. And it's like fine dining, like filet mignon and things like that. And I'm like, that's cool and all, but I'm not looking for that kind of experience anymore when I go to these parks. Like, I just want like a burger or a wrap or something. And they used to have those things, and they may have those still, but. I know when we sat down, we were totally blown away because it was like a total fine dining experience. And so just be prepared, you know the menu, check it out, make sure that you know, I mean, we went with the intentions like, oh, it was like any other year, but I guess they had just changed it that year because we remembered it as being like kind of very laid back, look here, right? And it was more fine dining.
And those, and remember, so, the menus are all in that app that we were talking about last time too. So that's always there as well.
Yes.
And if you feel,
so just be prepared.
And if you feel like if you really, like, you did something like that and you're looking down, and you're like, this is more money than we really wanted to spend, or we want to change it. Remember, 2 hours before, you could cancel your reservation without a problem.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is also in that vicinity is, I think it's cupcakes or donuts. There's the gray stuff, whatever it is that they joke around, like, from the try the gray stuff is delicious. Yes. It's like that icing stuff. I think it's the cupcakes.
Yeah, and that's actually why we went there. I think Taylor's favorite Disney movie is Beauty and the Beast, and we always, every time we went to Disney World, went to this place, had the food, and then we would always get the gray stuff for dessert, which was like a cupcake, and it was yummy. It was great.
Not $200 yummy.
At the time, it wasn't $200. Yeah. Now it's probably like $300.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. Why don't we, since you did mention it, though, maybe we could mention, like, a couple of the sit-down places. One that you just talked about, obviously, and then Liberty Tavern. That seems to be one that keeps coming in conversation. So Liberty Tavern, okay, so just real fast so you kind of get the idea. Most of the sit-down places that are, like, family style, they really try to play off comfort food, if that kind of makes sense. So, like, this one is the quintessential, like, Thanksgiving meal. So, like, take that for what it's worth. Like, if you're going this summer and it's, like, 95 degrees and you don't really feel like eating that kind of food, maybe that's not what you're going for, but maybe you do. Maybe you want some comfort. Maybe you're like, what's a vegetable? I haven't seen one in a couple days. So maybe that's what you want to have. But that's kind of, like, cool because, like, it's you know, the menu's all set. It's all, they just kind of bring stuff out, eat as much as you want, have some turkey, have some gravy, and then go back out into the heat. That seems to be a big one. Mike, so we didn't really do a whole lot of sit-down stuff at Magic Kingdom. Are there any other places that you recommend or that you would say stay away from or anything else?
I mean, I know in Tomorrowland there was like a cafeteria area that was like very, I think
we did that a couple, like, times.
Cosmic Ray.
That was a quick service.
Starlight Cafe. Yeah. I don't know. Was it quick service?
It might be both. I think we didn't do this. We did the quick one for that one. It was like burgers and fries and stuff.
Yeah. But there's many places to eat. There's sit down areas, there's quick food services, there's so many places, but you want to, for us, like I said, you want to look for that one staple. And I think for us, that staple was the Beauty and the Beast.
Okay, cool.
Dining experience.
And then I would say one thing that I would say is, like, hey, you know, it's not a podcast or it's not an honest podcast if you're only to say the good stuff. I will say that the there was one, I want to say it's like Pinocchio related or something like that. Whatever the food is, it overlooks It's a Small World, has like flatbread. Let me tell you a little story. That is not the best pizza I've ever had. So perhaps that is not an option that you're looking for. I was, go on Reddit, look at some of this stuff. I'll say that wasn't such a great one. But look around. Burgers are okay. Not great. But, you know, chicken sandwich is pretty good. Most kids like chicken nuggets, chicken strips, that sort of thing. But you know how to get through your family and how to survive. That's a whole thing. But when you have a kid like my middle guy, try to bring a couple Uncrustables to get through your day. All right. So why don't we jump on to some of the rides now, if that's cool, for Magic Kingdom?
Dude, the rides is where it's at.
All right. So these, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to burn through quickly with some of the ones that we like, some of our favorites. And Mike, please feel free to jump in if that's cool. Thought, now I'm looking at this from the perspective of like young kids. So I went through, we were thinking like, we'll pick a couple rides for Noah, our four-year-old, and we'll get, you know, some of the rides for the bigger ones. My family, when we started the trip, nobody was really a roller coaster kid. That changed. We'll talk about that later. But we went in with the first intention that Winnie the Pooh was going to be a great ride, which it was. There's these crazy, wacky nightmare guys called the Huffalumps. My middle guy freaked out. Not a great experience, but a cool ride. Small World is the ultimate reset button. When your kid cries and it all goes south, hop on a Small World. It's a reset button, baby. We did Pete's Silly Slideshow. This was not a ride. This is a chance for you to meet characters. So if you want to meet like a few of the characters, get some signatures, meet, you know, Minnie and who's the dog? Pluto? Nope. Yes. Pluto? Yes.
No.
No, Goofy. Goofy. Yes. I think it was Goofy and...
Yes.
Right? All right. I think it was Goofy. So I think they're both there at that one. You could check it out. Peter... Okay, Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. This was cool. This was the video game ride. This is the one where, like, you sit in a cart, you have, like, a laser gun, right? Mike, how does that work? You kind of shoot for points, right?
That is my jam. Ultimate family ride. We all fit in the car, and then you get like, a little laser, and you're shooting targets, and, you know, it's the competitive comes out in everybody, the competitiveness. You know, and we're looking at our scores, me and Lucas, my wife, Ellie, we're all like, oh, who's better than who? And it's fun. You spin around, you shoot a bunch of targets, and it's a great family experience.
And it's just like the little shooting thing uses light. So basically you click it and then it shoots like almost like a flashlight somewhere. And if the light hits a target, then it like, yeah.
Light? Right.
I will tell you, I don't know what this is, but Bridget, our friend from our other podcast, she told me she went with her boyfriend, and apparently somewhere in the ride, there's kind of like almost like a sneaky where you could like burn up point and get like a lot of points, and she got like tens of thousands of points and like decimated everyone and just kind of sat back the rest of the ride. So we're gonna have to ask Bridget at some point what that is. So far these rides are for the most part great for like the whole family. Peter Pan's Flight, an older ride. It gets a little bit questionable, sort of like some people like, some people don't. The reason why some people kind of give it a little bit of a hard time is like the old animatronics, but you also are in this like boat. So you get in the ride, they sprinkle some like magical dust on you, imaginary. And then the ride goes like sort of like high in the air. You're inside the building, but the city is below you. And it's a little scary for some kids. Dude, what do you think?
I was going to say I was scared on that ride. Like I was holding on to my children.
It's a little
who were next to me.
Daunting, right? You're kind of high, right?
Yeah. It's definitely a ride you have to go on, and it's got the nostalgia factor, but you know, the track, like you said, it was old animatronics, and you feel like you're really high up, so yeah. I kind of, and like my kids are kind of peeking over the edge a little bit, so I'm like pulling them back.
Yeah, my guys didn't like
it. I'm like, careful, you know. But it's fun. It's cool. It's great.
But I will say, like, some of these rides, the ones that people like love and have so much nostalgia for, they may be really older rides, and you may say it's not really worth it to go onto. Liberty Square Riverboat. Let me tell you a story about Liberty Square Riverboat. We went on it thinking we would cool down in the summer heat. I think we got hotter in that boat than we did anything else. It's not really that exciting. You hop on this white, big, you know, boat from like, you know, like old school, like old times. And then you go around this river. It's hot. It's not that exciting. It takes forever. You might burn through some time
Can I ask you, though, did you do that? It's funny because when you said
it's like Tom Sawyer.
The game about cooling down, we escaped into the Hall of Presidents.
That's
cool
so
down.
Smart.
Did you do that?
I wish we did because it's nice and cool, right?
Yeah, had an air conditioning room. Now, listen, when we went in for the ride, we saw all the presidents and we're like, okay, this is cool. You know, history lesson. It's summer. We're kind of trying to get away from the history lesson, but we were so hot from being in Magic Kingdom, we were like, forget it, it's worth it.
We're like, suddenly everybody loves social studies. Let's see what else. There's Mickey's Philharmonic. So this is like a 4D ride movie theater situation where like you go in, they play some music, some silly stuff's happening around you. It was really cool. It was kind of a fun little play in Fantasia and the music and stuff. We liked it. Did you like that one?
Dude, we loved it.
It was cool,
we loved
right?
it. And you know what was cool? You know what was really cool about it? And it's old. It's like older. It's one of those older rides. But they have like those older theater things. But they have like these little machines in front of you where you sit. And like when they have cupcakes come out, you'll smell the cupcakes.
Yes.
Or they'll pop like a champagne bottle and like you feel like the wetness from the movie and the champagne. So it really has like this immersive experience into it. It's really fun for the kids. And it's a short little video.
It's worth it. It's not too long of a wait for that one. Under the Sea is cool, but your kids might get afraid of Ursula. It's basically a reenactment of the movie with a lot of fast forwarding through chapters. Ariel looks creepy. She probably stares into your soul how old the animatronics are. It's a cool ride, though. Like, you basically go underwater. Well, not really. I mean, you know, it's made to look like you're going underwater. You get a couple of the songs, yeah. Kiss the Girl. What are those freaky things called? Legs. It's great. So then you go through. Everybody wins. You see all the mermaids at the end. Everybody's all happy. It's a pretty good ride. It's older, yeah. But it's still pretty cool. Another one that I think... Oh, this is one. So people at home, adults... Those of you who played Elden Ring and Dark Souls, let me tell you a story about Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean has changed over the years. What used to be cute and silly, some of the skeletons now look a little bit more creepy. So please keep that in mind. My 4-year-old was freaked out. I had my hat over his face as we went through totally. That ride.
You know what really scared my kids and even me a little bit was like they have that pirate cackle that goes... Oh
yes, and like, there was also a drop, like, right? In the very beginning, there's a drop.
Yes, it was freaky. It was kind of weird, and like some of the animatronics and things that are in there are very like, kind of horror looking or kind of scary-ish. I mean,
it's like, you know? Undead Normandy. You go to that beach, and there's like dead. Yeah, it's. I'm not. I mean, listen, you do you, but I love Pirates of the Caribbean. I think whenever they did the thing where they put Jack Sparrow into the ride, they made the skeletons more creepy because they still have the wacky things like the pirates chasing. It's really inappropriate. Yeah. The pirates are like chasing women and stuff, like going in circles, and like that looks like it's something out of the 1950s, the way they designed that stuff. But then you get to some of the skeletons, and you're like, what's going on here?
And the music that you always hear, or like the constant,
yeah,
and they always say like, "Dead men tell no tales," you know, like they always say that line over.
But some
and
of
over
us have to
over.
Get our kids to sleep tonight. Yeah, so it's. Yeah. you know, obviously know your kids, know your audience. That could be a good rider swap if you decide that maybe your youngest is a little bit freaked out. Pirates of the Caribbean is such a classic, but yet keep that in mind. Another one, Tiki Room. Tiki Room is so old, yet so wonderful. It's so bizarre. It's this room where all these birds come out, and that you sit in one spot, and the birds and the, like, tiki statues, they just start singing this wacky song. It's great. It's really, it plays in some very nice stereotypes of different cultures, and
it sings. It's cute.
It's wonderful. Yeah. And then you go out, you buy some Dole Whip, and you're like, what have we just been through? And then there's also, honestly, one of our favorites was Jungle Cruise. Jungle Cruise, I would say, without a doubt, burn a genie pass on. You know, your 2-hour thing. Because, I have to warn you, you could get a really good person or you could get a dud. This is basically Disney's version of the duck tour. What happens is you hop in this boat, you go around, and there's a lot of animatronic, ridiculous animals, and they all basically have the same, like, general jokes that they use, but some of them have great deliveries and are really funny. We had one person the first day who was hysterical, and then we wrote it again when we went back to Disney, back to Magic Kingdom a couple days later, and we got like someone who played to be like a ditzy blonde, and it really was like, for whatever reason, it didn't work. So like, if you kind of like almost hear the person and you think they're funny when they pull up, maybe that's the boat for you. If not, maybe like look at your shoes, tie your kid's shoelaces, and tell some kids to go ahead of you, wait for the next boat. I don't know what to tell you, but the joke did not land for the second time we ran it. And but anyway, we had a great time. It was very funny. Did you do Jungle Cruise by chance?
Of course.
It's funny,
course,
right?
You have to do Jungle. You have to do it. It's funny, it's silly, you know, the actors or the, you know, the tour guides, like, they do a good job. They make silly, corny jokes, and it's like one of those things, when you go to Magic Kingdom, you have to do the Jungle Cruise.
And the one that Bridget and Liam told us, well, I think Bridget more than Liam, was a Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover is tops. That's one of Bridget's favorites. That one's cool. You just kind of like, you go through, you see if things are done, it's a definite. You have to do the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover. That's like the experience.
Oh, you know, I don't think I did that one.
It's great. It's great. And then
is it good?
Yeah, you have to, right? And then another one that you have to do. So I'm going off both of our lists because we did 2 days. We have the I don't remember what it's called. What's the one where which is the one where you drive the car like it's on a
where you breathe in all the gas.
That's what I have it listed as. I have drive the car and question your children's ability to breathe in gas and drive. Yeah, so basically the car, you know.
I think it was the Speedway, something Speedway, right? Is it Tomorrowland Speedway? I think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I remember, oh my God, dude, I remember Lucas wanted to do it and Ellie didn't want to do it. So we got online, we got all the way up to the speedway. We get in the car and it's like the car in front of us is just like blowing gas into exhaust.
I know,
into our
right?
face, you know, and he loved it though, because he was able to drive and he's hitting the, it's on a track, you know,
Ethan's like purposely slamming into the right and trying to like make the car slam. It's ridiculous. I'm like, what is wrong with you, child?
It's basically go-karts on a track.
It is, because you hear them go blah, 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 blah.
And they love it.
And it is, if you don't get off that ride with a headache, you're not doing it right. Another one that is, but honestly speaking, your kids will absolutely love riding that car. And if you don't do it, they're going to love telling you how you're a bad parent for not having you let them ride the car. So you have to do that one. Another one that I have here, we have... Oh, the teacups spin around and go dizzy. We have that. Wonderful. Okay, so there is there's a roller coaster. It's not wonderful. It's not amazing. If your child is... Okay, this is a little out of order. If your child is starting to get the hinkering, why not call that, for roller coasters, I would say not... This one maybe shouldn't be their first roller coaster. Maybe if they start to dig it, it would be maybe their second roller coaster. The Barnstormer is a pretty cute little roller coaster, but it's not... as little cutesy as you'd expect. So I would say definitely like an intermediate level youngster roller coaster, if that makes any sense. It's not 101, it's like a 201 class. I don't know what that means. All right. The haunt.
How about,
go ahead.
How about, I was going to say, how about in Frontierland roller coasters? You got the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Did you ever do that?
You know what's funny? I don't even have that on my list because I wouldn't go on those. I did that when I was younger, and I'm like, oh heck no, man. Did you go on those?
Oh, yeah. So cool. It's like a train on a track. But again, I don't know what it is with these roller coasters. Like, listen, I love Disneylander, but sometimes these roller coasters, they like jerk you left and right and you're like,
and your back is not equipped for that.
yeah, your back. I'm like, maybe it's just because I'm older now, in my 30s.
Right.
And, you know, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's fun.
But it's an older one. You're right. And then the water one is gone now. The Space Mountain, Thunder Mountain. One of them is being changed right now.
Is it Splash Mountain. Was that Splash?
That's
Mountain?
The one's being changed over now.
Yes.
What is... Okay. I got that. Oh, Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion is... It's scary. It's a goofy scary. So you have to have a kid that gets the concept that it's going to be goofy, but yet scary, but not really scary, like kind of funny scary. So Ethan went on with me. Jacob was like, I think Jacob assumed it was going to be like real scary. So he wasn't into it. He didn't want to get on it, but it's hysterical. It's old. There's like ghost dancing. You go inside and there's like on the walls, like you see there's like almost paintings, and then like the ride starts and then it's like, oh, you will not be let out unless you get through. And then the you're on like this like elevator where it looks like the walls are stretching, and then you see the bottom half of the painting that was left out, and you find like ridiculous ways that people died on the grave sites that you see as you walk in. And then you go in, you are on the cart, and they project, like, you might see like a mirror where like you'll see like I think maybe the scariest thing in the whole ride is like as you're going on it, there's like one part where you pass by like a screen and it projects like a glowing ghost that is in the car with you. So I don't know, a little wild, but we should probably keep moving. I agree. We got and then lastly on this list were a couple small things. Seven Dwarfs roller coaster. That's one that you could pay for a slot like a Lightning Lane. I will say Ethan got the idea he wanted to ride on it, and we ended up absolutely loving it. It's a pretty smooth roller coaster. That for him was the one that was really sell the deal as him being like a roller coaster kind of kid. There's also the Rotating History of Walt. I don't remember what it's called. That one's hysterical. That was the ride that was at the at the World's Fair. It's a fun little ride. You could cool off. You sit down, it rotates, and you see a bunch of stuff. It's really old, but yeah, it's kind of funny. And then lastly, there's like the Monsters Incorporated Laugh Floor. You hop online, they tell a couple bad jokes, you laugh, and it's another like kind of ride that you might have a good time.
Oh, I love that one too. And you know what's funny is like it's live action with that one, so like they'll pick on specific people within the audience, and they may stay to that one person. So just be aware that you may be picked.
I love that. And then you could also like text jokes. If you have like bad dad jokes, you could text those as you're online for the ride. They give you like a number to text, and then you could send them in your bad jokes, and they might use them on the ride. Yeah. But they do that thing. You're right, Mike. They do that thing where like they choose three or four people with a camera. I don't know what those seats are, but they choose the same seats every time. And then they kind of like use them as like a as part of like the joke and the gag. So, you know, whatever, just be open to the idea of that happening. As we're going through this, you see, we're kind of like almost the end of Magic Kingdom. This is going to be a long episode. So, if you're not into Magic Kingdom and you want to jump to the next part, you do that or jump ahead if that makes sense to you. Lastly for Magic Kingdom is going to be the end of the night stuff. So Magic Kingdom, the way Magic Kingdom ends the night is with, the happily ever after, castle fireworks. One thing about this one is, there's a recommendation that if you're facing the castle on the left-hand side, there's like a little bridge that goes up to the castle. It's near Liberty Square. Some people say that work there, they say that's a good place to go if you have strollers and young kids. You could watch it sort of from the side. Mm-hmm. But basically what you see is a bunch of cool stuff that's produced in the castle, some great music, and then the whole thing ends with Tinkerbell or a shiny light being shot across the screen across like a line on the theme park. And it's very cool. It's like the quintessential family hug picture that you know you need it, and it's the one that makes you want to go back to Disney every year. Bing, Michael Hyde from the future here. So I totally forgot somehow to include the part about Tron. Tron is a ride that you have to use the virtual queue to get on. Some people complain that the ride is a little bit on the shorter side. It's a little bit cooler at night. You do ride behind each other, like back to back. If that's something that kind of freaks you out with your family, with your kids holding on, maybe it's not for you. Some people thought it was kind of cool. The spectacle of it all is definitely the nighttime. If you do it with the lights from like Tron will show up in the ride. So something to think about. I didn't do it. Mike didn't do it, but, I heard it was pretty cool, but don't stress out about it if you can't get onto it. Cause it's like one of those things where there's so many other good rides. Okay. Back to the show. Bing.
I do have to say, though, like, if you stay, and you should stay for the final show, but if you do stay for the final show, just be prepared for the Mad Dash.
Yes.
And I call it, as soon as that show is over, the whole park empties out. So you have that Mad Dash of everybody going towards the exits, going towards the buses, trying to get to their bus to get to their hotel because everybody's tired, exhausted from the heat and whatever else. And so just be prepared because you may have to, you know, bump through a couple people and get and I don't want anybody to get run over because there is that Mad Dash.
I love it. All right. Well, you know what it is time for, my friend? It is time for acronym. It's time for the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. We are going to Epcot, baby. So, all right, so check it out.
Nice.
Epcot is...
Oh, that's good because, like, I haven't been to Epcot in so long, so I need to hear. How was it, man?
All right, listen, I don't want this to turn into Michael Hyde show. I'm going to do this quick, and I'm going to give you some good insights, and then we're going to be moving on. I'll say that Epcot is a fun place that was originally, like, Walt Disney's idea of what like a tomorrow futuristic city could be. So that's the theme of the whole jam. It was really kind of like, you know, as my parents, my mom was a teacher, my dad was into like work for the government. This was like where they wanted to go. This is like the not the ride park. This is like the learning area. So that was kind of the theme as we always went through it. But keep in mind that Epcot has two main sections. One of them is like where you go around the world. That's the one that they're most famous for, where like people joke around that you could walk around the entire world in like a half an hour. So that's like the one where like people like will eat or they'll drink. They'll go through like all the different like places in the world. Then there's also like the futuristic of tomorrow part of like Epcot where it has like the future. So we kind of basically will go through some of these things real fast. So I'm going to just kind of give you a quick perspective of the food in Epcot. Whenever there's like a festival of food or things like that, usually Epcot is the place where they kind of really bring it. And I'll say that like with the exception of a couple places that are kind of known for food, you will probably enjoy yourself more at Epcot if you eat a little bit of random stuff and share it with your family, because it is so much fun to walk around the park and try different foods and just eat a bunch of random stuff and lose track of how much you spent. And that's probably the best thing you can do in Epcot, especially during the food festivals, because they add extra like countries. And then you're like, well, we have to go to eat Thai food. We have to eat, we have to go to Japan. We have to have like, you know, whatever. We have to have like, you know, Belgian waffles. So like, there's a lot of stuff like that, you know? So Mike, I think you would dig this. Cause like, you know, you and me, man.
Yo, yeah. And I think that's why, you know, that's why Disney's so great, because like, I think Epcot is definitely for like maybe kids who are a little bit older and into those things of like trying to taste all the different foods. So like if you have teenagers or, you know, this is something that can be great for them, you know, going around, checking all the different foods, seeing all the different cultures and things like that. Oh, it must be awesome.
And then what's fun about it is, and I agree 100%, like our kids, they dug it. The thing about the places to eat is that a couple of the sit down places are maybe more your speed if you don't want to do that whole thing in the heat. France, we weren't going to eat at a reservation place. We were actually going to the Ratatouille ride. And when we were getting, I'm trying to remember now, we got off the ride and it was starting to pour. Mm-hmm. And we're like, we are stuck. What do we do? Grab the phone. What's that place? They have crepes. Beep, boop, boop, boop. They have reservation. Grab it. Go. Let's go. And we killed an hour there and it was great. So that worked for us. But typically speaking, we were just going to try like a bunch of random stuff. For us, what I remember from being a kid, the Chinese was excellent. And then the Mexican was excellent too. That's more of the experience, but the one with the three Calaveras where you take like the boat around, that's also a great experience. It's like in the Aztec temple. Those are fun places to eat. If you are looking for a character meal, we had two character meals in this trip. The character meal we had at Epcot was the Garden Grill. This is advertised as Chippendale's Garden Grill, whatever it is. You meet Mickey. You see Minnie, you see Pluto, you see Goofy, they must have it set up where they all come to your table throughout the meal. Like they make it a point where they have like a flow in an order, but you will see all of them get the hugs and all that. The restaurant moves, it rotates, and they have this thing in the parks, which I didn't know until the waiter told us that, what are they called again? Hidden Mickeys. And these little hidden symbols of like Mickey Mouse ears and stuff. And there's a bunch of them in the restaurant. It's kind of fun to find them, you know? And then this one was, it was like, they put down like salad, which is great to see. We jokingly say like, we haven't seen that in days. And then they have a big like cast iron skillet that had like, you know, like had steak. It had barbecue chicken. It had maybe it was like, what was it, like stuffing and like cornbread stuffing, macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes. It had a bunch of stuff like that. And it was like a great meal, had some dessert. It was expensive, but it was perfect for what we were looking for.
So can I ask, as you're doing this tour of World of Foods, how did you feel at the end of like walking out of all those food places? Were you like super stuffed?
We were more stuff going to dinner than we should have been, because Jacob and I, Ethan wanted to do this thing where he wanted to get his like card stamped, whatever it was, from all different countries because of the thing that was going on. Jacob and I proceeded to try to eat as much food as we could. Like we're not a good influence on each other. So we were like, let's try the boba tea. Let's try the bao bun. Let's have some of this. So we were like, oh man, I don't know. We ate too much, you know?
I can just imagine after eating all that food and like walking through the park, like, oh, you guys must have been like dying.
Yo, it was ridiculous. We're waiting for Rachel and Ethan, and there were Noah and like Jacob and I saw the sign for the Italian mime, and at one point, because like we passed the time, it was like 4:30, the last showing was like 4:45, all of a sudden I was like messing with Jacob. I started pretending to be the mime. It was ridiculous, but we were like walking around. So let's get a jump on some of these rides, because there's so many good ones. All right, so Epcot real fast. If you end up taking the Sky Ride, it'll kick you right over to the World area, the World Pavilion, and that's where like some of these big rides are. So Frozen Ever After, that was like the Matterhorn ride where you take the boat and stuff. There's a little drop. Kids love the ride. They do like all the Frozen songs. Are really cool. They're more modern animatronics, maybe half scary, but it's pretty good. So there's also you can do a thing where you can meet characters. Now this is hit or miss. We got there, we were in line, and the characters weren't there yet. What happened? But we met them, and my kids, like, Noah was really pumped to meet Elsa and Anna. So we just stayed in line, and we did it. It was kind of worth it. So, like, we ended up doing that thing where we booked it to Frozen. We had, like, a time slot for Ratatouille, so we decided to meet Elsa and Anna. That was kind of worth it. And then we did the Three Calaveras, which is the ride that's inside the little pyramid thing where, like, it's also the restaurant. Three Calaveras kind of fun. It's like, what's his name? The duck. Daffy?
Donald Duck?
Donald Duck. Daffy? Not sure why I said Daffy. Donald Duck. Hangs out with some some musicians. You get to a little store. You take a little boat. It's kind of fun. The main rides in Epcot, I will say 100%, are, let's see here, Frozen, the Frozen ride. The Remy Ratatouille Adventure, that one is crazy. There's a screen, you're on a ride, and what you do is, if you've seen Ratatouille, is Remy is a little rat dude. He's like the main character in the story. Forget Linguini. He's just the guy that he's in the hat. You follow Remy through the kitchen. The only part that's a little scary is because, like, he's a rat and you're following him. You're like his size. You at one point you're underneath like the kitchen burner, and then the fire gets lit up, and then that really angry mean little chef dude that is like the mean guy in the movie, he's kind of trying to swat you with a broom and trying to like get you, so you're trying to escape him as you go through this whole experience. But it's a really, really cool ride. I think it was definitely worth going on. Where is it? Looking real fast. There was also,
I was just thinking, the next time I go to Disney World, I have to hit Epcot.
It's great.
Like, it's just, it sounds awesome.
You know what? Since they added the Ratatouille and they added the Frozen stuff, I think that made it more appealing. Because once you add that, and then I was going to mention too, the Nemo ride was a lot of fun, but there's one part with the shark that's a little scary, not too bad. And then there's angelfish, the one that has the the glowy thing with the big teeth. That was a little scary, but it was a cool ride. And that also has like a little like a mini aquarium that you could walk through, so that was a lot of fun too. Soarin', I don't remember the specific seats. I wish I remembered it written down. I think it's like row B, all the way over to the right. So in Soarin', you hop in these chairs, they lift you up, and there's a big like IMAX screen in front of you, and it brings you flying through different countries. The view is really obscured if you don't sit in the right row. So if you feel like you're going to get a motion sickness, just go on Reddit, go online, look it up. I forgot what it was. Maybe I'll post in the show notes. There's a seat and a section you should ask to sit in, and they usually accommodate you. They're wonderful. The people that work there are really great. Just tell them you get a little motion sickness, and I'll put you in the right spot, and then it'll be like less warped as you sit and you ride through the ride. That was a really cool ride. Soarin' was a lot of fun. Living with the Land is cool. You can see like how Epcot grows food and stuff, like they grow plants, and talk about that. Some of the I have so many foods listed because of the festival, like the grilled cheese with honey and pistachio, the teriyaki bun, the sushi, the bubble tea, the duck bao, the it's out of control. And then we had I'm like, where are the rides? These are all foods. Kid Cut fun stuff.
I think it's because Epcot is food, mainly right? It is food. That's like, you go there to experience all those different cultural foods and things, and then there's just like rides that are in there, whereas the other parks are more ride driven,
And then like, I agree with you 100% because there really are not that many rides in Epcot. The ones that were like the older rides that people might remember is, the dude from Monty Python. They got Figment, the Journey into Imagination. It's okay. My kid was a little freaked out. It's a purple dragon that flies around, and then like they make it kind of like a weird kind of view that things are kind of a little trippy, but it was kind of cool. Spaceship Earth is the one that happens inside that globy thing. It is really outdated, man. It is like an old ride where it's like technology.
I always wanted to go
and
in
then,
that.
Well, it's funny because like it's all old, and then you get to the last part and like, and then we have the internet. Whoa. And it's like a really wild ride. We were on that ride and we were trying to like make sure that we got to like the end of the night show. The ride like sort of like broke down and we were stuck for a few minutes, and we were like, come on, let's get through this thing. We got to get to the ride. It was, one of those things, but, whatever. Yeah. So like, those are the general viewpoint. It's super fun. Walk around, eat the food, eat some more food, then make a reservation for dinner. And then also, as you see mixed into all this stuff, there's like little things, like maybe you'll go to Japan and you'll see that they're doing like a cool drum concert, which is really neat. Or you'll go to like another part of me dancing or singing. So there's like a lot of fun stuff to do. So keep in mind, Epcot, for people that live in Florida, sometimes they'll go like for like quote unquote happy hour, and they'll go on like a Thursday or a Friday night. I think Friday night might be maybe the biggest offender. So if you want to have a little bit less of a crowd, maybe don't do Epcot on a Friday night. Just a thought, something to keep in the back of your mind. Definitely fun. Bing, Michael Hyde from the future again. So earlier we mentioned in the top of the show about the virtual queues with the corrections, but we actually forgot to mention the Guardians of the Galaxy, the ride in the right spot. So Guardians is at Epcot, and this is another virtual queue ride where you have to try at 7 a.m. or 1 p.m. to get on the ride. It's supposed to be absolutely sick. The people that I've talked to that are not totally people that get like seasick or motion sick thought it was really cool. If fear is your biggest factor, I've heard this ride is sick because of the lights, the music, And the biggest thing about it is it is a roller coaster, but what changes about it being a traditional roller coaster is that where a roller coaster would have all the cars would be connected together, in this, the cart that you're sitting in moves independently. So like when you're going around a turn, your cart might be turned sideways as you go forward. So it's supposed to be kind of like a mind-breaking kind of cool experience. If you dig Guardians and you dig the music and you love like kind of like a crazy laser light show, I've heard that this is unparalleled. So something to think about. If you have kids that are young, definitely a ride or swap, or just book it for the people that want to go on it. All right, back to the show. Bing! The end of Epcot thing was called the, where is it? Epcot is called Luminous, the Ooh, symphony of Luminous. Us. So Luminous is kind of cool. Luminoso. So Luminous, you basically, you definitely, you find a spot, everyone's crowded around the lake and they do fireworks, there's music, it's all combined. It's a very cool light show. I think they're all really worth it, but this one was kind of fun. Trick with Epcot, now just keep it back in your mind. If you're going to stay locally, on the resort property and you go to Epcot, usually the ride, the sky ride is a way to get back to the hotel. The length of that line was like 4 city blocks. I'm not even kidding. And I looked at it and I looked at Rachel. I'm like, we're never getting home. We're going to live here. It moved so much faster than I gave it credit for. It was a wait. Don't get me wrong. Like, we still waited like 25 minutes, whatever it was, to get onto it. But like, the speed and efficiency in which that thing moved was out of control. So like, if you are making bad jokes like I was as we walked past 1,000 people to get to the back of the line, it's not as bad as it's worth it to stay, because it really isn't that bad at the end of it all. But your kids will probably be sleeping in the air ride. Definitely wake them up as that thing comes down, because they will be freaked out. All right, cool. Shall we leave Epcot and make our way to Hollywood Studios?
Yes, well, this is my job. Hollywood Studios.
This is the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs, baby. All right, so my friend Mike, why don't you help us out here? What are some of the quick... Okay, so real fast, folks, we know that this is going to be a long episode. We knew that going in. So just like I said, Magic Kingdom first, Epcot second, Hollywood Studios third. We're going to go to Animal Kingdom fourth. Then we're going to do offsite stuff, and then we're going to wrap it. So that's going to be how it's going to go for this one, okay? So Mike Levine, Hollywood Studios, let's talk about some food.
Hollywood Studios. Well, like I said, you know, when we go to all the different parks, we always pick like a place to eat. And for our place to eat at Hollywood Studios, we picked Docking Bay 7, which happens to be in Galaxy's Edge. Surprise, surprise, Star Wars fan, right?
Listen, this is so, don't sell yourself short. On this episode, if any episode, this is the one where you need to embrace it.
Yeah, again, you know, you look at the maps, you find what you like, and you go for it. So we picked Docking Bay 7. It was a kind of like a cafeteria-type place where you pick your stuff quick. I guess it would be considered along the quick eat. Now, they do have like a place to eat that you have to book months in advance. And I believe that place was called Oga's Cantina, or maybe that's where they sell the alcoholic beverages. But you book this place and you can have like a nice sit down meal. But again, when I went, it was like backed up for like 6 months. You know, and then for quick eats, something you have to have at Hollywood Studios is the blue milk and the green milk. Now, the green milk was something totally, I don't know where the green milk came from. I think it was from some of the newer Star Wars, but blue milk is actually from the
I don't even think green milk's in the movies at all. I'm gonna go ahead and take a risk here. Like, listeners, you could write and tell us we're wrong, but I'm gonna say that I go with my gut here. I don't think that was in any of the movies.
Dude, I never seen it, but they made this green milk concoction.
It's like honeydew or something. It's like weird.
Yeah, it's like a plant based blend of coconut or something. I don't know.
Blue milk, baby.
But the blue milk's where it is. It's actually really good, and they sell it at all the little vendors within the Galaxy's Edge, like all those little like eatery stands. So definitely something you have to check out is the blue milk.
I will say that on top of that, and agreeing 100% with you, just to say that you did it and had it, and it's a wonderful experience. Bing! Michael Hyde from the future here. Totally forgot to tell you guys about the picture place. that was for the special picture in Hollywood Studios. If you are looking at the Millennium Falcon and you're halfway up the stairs, there's like two levels, as you're kind of coming down facing it, that spot there with the photographer, that's the place that does a special picture where you take a picture and then they zoom out and you see the Millennium Falcon and everything else. Okay, back to the show. Bing! Is in the Toy Story area. I heard about this for months, and during quarantine and everything else, when New York State shut down and a lot of the other states, Disney started posting some recipes, right? They put like the churros, and one of the recipes that they posted online was Woody's grilled cheese. Now, I don't know. Ooh. This one, I don't know. Sounds I think we got yummy. Like a little bit of, we went really late at night. It's probably better if you go earlier, but I'll say that it's worth a shot. It's like a really rich filling happy grilled cheese. They also have like the fake Pop Tarts there too, which are kind of fun. So that's like the Toy Story Land. It's definitely kind of fun. I will say
what is that, Woody's lunchbox?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's it. And it's like fun food. I will say grilled cheese and Pop Tarts is probably the way to go. The other thing that I will tell you is so please take this with a grain of salt or whatever whatever you want to say. There was a thing where you can set up like your lunch, if it's a reserved lunch, as like, or what do they call it, like a dinner package? There's something you could do where it includes you getting a reserved seat for the nighttime thing. We didn't do it. I think we messed something up, but you could get some sort of combined thing where you get like a specific row 37 seats A through E, whatever. We didn't have that. So at the end of the night, we wish we had it because it was kind of hectic. But there's something to do with like a dinner where you could pay a little bit more, shocking, and get yourself like a package where you have like, maybe what it is that you have lunch at the park and then you do like a late night dinner where you're seated at that amphitheater and then you have a dinner package as part of that. I think that's what it was. So keep in the back of the mind if that's something that you're interested in. Now, we did the drive-in sci-fi movie theater. Okay, food is pretty good. It's like burgers and shakes and fries. The way it works is you sit in like a car, and then the way it kind of works is you could fit like it's really designed for two people in the front, two people in the back. We had a group of three. We weren't going to have Jacob sit by himself, so we did like we sat with like strangers essentially. So we did like two in the front, three in the back, whatever it was. Now, I don't know if this is like depending on who you get. We got this waiter who I'm sure this is his job. I'm not going to rag him for it, but like the bad Catskills jokes that preceded were like, once they found out we were from New York, every comment or joke was like a bad dig about people from New York or like girls talking like Long Island. It was like cute. It was great for 5 minutes. And I was like, dude, okay, please. I get it. You'd be funny any other time, but it's like 98 degrees outside and we're just trying to escape the heat, not deal with you right now. So please just get the food. We love you. We will tip you, but please stop. So it was a little bit much. I didn't love it. But I know people talk highly about it. They play like old sci-fi movies on black and white on the TV. They get like almost the drive-through, the drive-in experience, but be ready for those bad jokes. 'Cause they are a coming.
I never checked that place out. I should definitely look into that.
It was a good break, but if it was anything like it was the first time, man, poof, I need to wear earmuffs next time. let's see what else. You know what? Honestly, I think that's really, for the most part, really all we have as far as food? Like the food stuff went for that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I would agree. Hit the rides?
Rides it is, my friend.
Rides it is. Okay.
Hit that hyperdrive.
So real fast, something that maybe to keep in the back of your mind is this is like a side thing, and I know it costs money. We did it because we thought we were going to earn points, and honestly, I don't know if it was worth it. I think it helped us get, like, with a reservation and like getting into a specific like building at the resort. And then what I'm about to tell you is why we also had it was like, so if you get the Disney credit card, it's like a Visa card. It's annoying because it costs money. You got to pay like $100 every year. So it's like, but like you earn points towards whatever. You could trade it in for like gift cards for blah, 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 whatever. Okay. So the reason why it was cool was because like there's certain times where there's these like character areas where you can meet the characters. And then you tell the people that you're like on the map, I think it says it, like it's like a Disney credit card experience. I don't know what that is. It says something. So if you show them this credit card at the part of Star Wars where you can meet some characters, like you can meet, Chewbacca and you can meet BB-8. If you show them the credit card, they also bring you to another room.
Show them the money.
You walk in and all you hear is, oh, And you're like, no way.
Yes, dude.
Let me tell you a story,
my
friends.
I remember when you texted me this picture of you, and I'm like, oh my God, you lucky darts.
I'm telling you right now. Darth Vader, like, I know that you meet the characters, and like, Chewbacca's got a goofy face and a mask. It looks a little bit weird. Darth Vader, I don't know what they did. Maybe Disney's like, you're not showing this character unless it sounds like Darth Vader. The animatronic voice thing, whatever they did, whatever, like, they probably have, like, whatever money they spent this part, they probably doubled it on the computers. It sounds like you are in the presence of Darth Vader. I am not even kidding you. I don't think the lines are even, like, pre-programmed, because we were wearing shirts we made, oh, and then God. The shirts... I put the Rebel Alliance. Yeah, it's about to get geeky. I put the Rebel Alliance logo on the sleeve. So when we walked in, Darth Vader grabbed Ethan's shirts and he accused him of being a Rebel scum spy. And I was like, yes. And
that's
then
awesome.
Ethan told him that these are not the, what did he tell him? He's like, there'll be no one to stop us this time. But I don't think he enjoyed it as much as the moment where he grabbed the shirt and he accused him of being a Rebel spy. It's amazing. But that was really cool. So I knew you could meet Darth Vader in other ways. I think he's like an Epcot. It's kind of random. But if you have the credit card and you can show them that you get in, you get to meet Darth Vader. And it's the coolest thing ever. All right, that said, the characters that walk around Hollywood Studios, maybe Mike, you can speak to this more, but from what I understand, some of it is a little random. Like, one of our friends went and they met the Mandalorian. Apparently, like, this is like Pokemon to get to catch them all, because some of them are really rare. So, like, Mando, I didn't see Mando at all the day we were there, but apparently, like, he comes out really rarely. He probably gets, like, mobbed as soon as people see him. But our friend Christopher, Mike and Marie, they saw Mando, and it was like, they had pictures, and I was so jealous. We saw Chewbacca walking around. We saw, like, we just call her, like, fake Rey walking around. We saw, like, you know, and then obviously, I didn't see him, but stormtroopers came up and freaked out Noah, Rachel, and asked him for identification. So there was, like, that sort of thing too, right? What about you? Did you see characters?
So, yeah. When we saw the same ones as you, you know, we saw Rey, we saw Chewbacca, we saw stormtroopers. And, you know, it's funny, sometimes you'll hear, like, the stormtroopers, like, talking to each other, and they're, like, you know, they're just making very silly, like, things, saying silly things to each other, and you're like, oh my God, these guys are so dumb, but it's so
funny.
It's,
like, totally on point.
They say, like, yeah, it's just, like, it's, like, perfect, you know. I think they really do a good job at Hollywood Studios of immersing you in the Star Wars galaxy, you know, because... When you talk about rides, you talk about Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, man. That is a ride where you feel like you are in Star Wars.
So this is the individual ride, Lightning Mike? Lane ride that people pay money for, because they want to make sure that if they go to Disney, they get on this ride. You might be able to get onto it if you book it there. Like, you get your butt there as soon as the park opens, or you're there early, and you might not have to pay. We weren't that smart. Maybe you can't do it, but we paid for it. It does actually break down, because there's so many points in this ride that have fail safes where if something triggers a problem, the ride might shut down for 20 minutes. So all of that, put that in the back of your mind. Now, Mike, I will tell you before you continue, best ride I've ever been on in my life. Okay, go.
And it is the best because like, I can't say it enough. You feel like you're in Star Wars. Like, they load you into this ship, and then they, you know, in while you're in the ship, you're going through, like, this kind of, like, cinematic show, and you're moving, you're being tossed and turned. Next thing you know, the door opens, and you're like, holy moly, the whole, like, where
it's
are
General
we?
Akbar.
Are we on another planet? Yeah, like, it's crazy.
And what's so smart about it is that you might think that, like, okay, in an older ride where you are, like, waiting and you're sitting in a holding tank, you are, but you don't realize it. That's the genius of this ride.
Yes, yes, yes. And then they load you on another holding tank, and then it's like you feel like you're flying up into space, but you can't see anything outside the tank. And then the next time they open the door, you're on, like, a Star Destroyer, and everything's pitch black. You're in a hangar. You see the space outside, and you just see this rows of stormtroopers.
Oh, man. And some of them, like, are talking to you,
oh,
and some of them,
God,
are just, like, posed. But it's so funny because, like, they are talking down to you the entire time because you're, like, rebel scum. And they're, like, and it's so funny because they try to get you lined up in the proper order, and they're, like, They tell you something like Rebel, stand on this line. You better stand right here. That's the only nicety you're going to get today. And they basically just tell you where you're supposed to stand. It's like hysterical. And then, you pose, you take some pictures, they mock you. And then basically, like, Kylo Ren is trying to kill you as you're trying to break out, and they're trying to be saved, and it's awesome.
Yep. And then you finally get on the ride, and it's a great ride. Definitely fun. Definitely.
And I would say rider swap this one so that all the adults get to go on it. Don't miss out on this one. It is so worth it. The other ride, what's the other one with where you fly the Millennium Falcon?
Smuggler's
Run. That's the coolest thing. Yeah. All right, listen. Before we hit that real fast, when you walk into the area that is the Star Wars area, you walk into like a mountain caverny area, like the almost a cut out of a mountain. When you finally make it through that little cavern and you pop in and you start to see the towers, and then all of a sudden you see the Millennium Falcon. We were cheering. I swear, I was like jumping up like a 5-year-old, and the people that worked there were just smirking. They must get such a kick out of it in a positive and good way when they see how much joy you have of seeing these things. And we were like basically like skipping through the world as we were like seeing all these things. And then just walking around, like not the ride, but there's like a little marketplace and all of this stuff. Just being immersed and walking around and seeing stuff was so cool. Rides, man. Well, so Smuggler's Run, tell us about that.
Smuggler's Run's great. And it's great for, it's one of those definitely kid rides where I brought Ellie Lucas. It was Ellie Lucas, me, and Taylor. We get into the Millennium Falcon, and we each control a piece of
the ship.
That's
the genius part.
The ride,
it makes you want to ride
amazing.
It a few times.
I know. And, you know, it's funny because, like, you're going through the ride and you're, like, yelling at each other, shoot here, shoot there, left, right, you know, and it's so much fun.
It's like basically a video game, right? Like, it's a VR. It's not VR because, like, you see it on the screen not wearing a headset, but it basically is, like, almost VR, right?
Right. Yeah, it's so much fun, and it feels like you're flying the Millennium Falcon. They do a really good job.
So basically just a quick thing for adults to keep in mind. If you want to not have a nauseous experience, what happens is two people can be the pilot. One person does the up and down, another person goes to the left and the right. And then you have a couple engineers and a couple gunners. So like if you would like to not crash your ship sideways 1,000 times, maybe don't let your kids, the youngest ones, control and be the pilot. Maybe let them be gunners, because man, oh man, it could be a wild ride as they crash into things. But it doesn't matter. You can crash 1,000 times. You'll still survive at the end. It's very cool. That was Smuggler's Run. And another one is really cool, which I think is a newish ride, is it's very cool. It's a Mickey Mouse ride that's another sort of like 4D ride. And what it looks like is kind of like they do this newer cartoon style. It's like the Mickey Mouse video game. There's a new Mickey Mouse cartoon that is intending to look like an old Mickey Mouse cartoon. I don't know how to describe it. It's very old school looking, but in a modern way. So Mickey's Runaway Railroad is like a wacky one where Mickey and Minnie are sitting down for a picnic, and then their picnic lunch gets exploded and they're away.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Explosion happens, scared the bejeebers out of Noah, and then you go into this like swampy, creepy area. Yep. Once again, got to take the hat out. Adult, have a hat to cover your 4-year-old's eyes. It was a very cool ride. I would say it was worth it. We booked it to that ride as the first ride that we kind of like ran to that we didn't have a reservation for. It was very cool. Another one that was...
Dude, I forgot to mention. I have to mention this because it's a little
the experience,
extra
right?
Money, but in the... Yeah, the experience is Savvy's Workshop and Droid Depot. So like at the Droid Depot, you can like build a droid from Star Wars, you know, and in Savvy's Workshop, you can build like your own Jedi lightsaber. So both, I had experiences with both.
But if you had to pick one, though.
If I had to pick one, it was the lightsaber. I mean, like, you know, you think about a quest as a child of what you need to fulfill in life. This is it. And you know what was really cool is I did this with my son. And, you know, I thought I would be building it more, but he was like, Daddy, I want to build it. And of course, I'm not going to be a mean dad. You know, I'm like, okay, you can build it. But it was so cool with the music, with the acting.
The Kyber crystal.
And then when they tell... Yeah, the Kyber crystal, all the feels were there, and they told my son to, like, lift your lightsaber and activate, and then it turns on, and the music starts going, and it's like, I was crying. I was literally crying. This was, like, amazing.
And to be clear, Mike Levine wasn't crying then, only because of the feels. It was the cost of the experience as well.
Yes, I was crying for both, darn it.
Now, that was, to be clear, so for every lightsaber, they could bring, so okay, so for everyone you book, they're allowed to bring an adult with them, right? So like, it's like you, yes, you can't do like two lightsabers, and like you can't, you have to book it so that like each kid gets, once their lightsaber gets booked, and then like an adult to go can go with the kid.
You could have somebody accompany, yes, them. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, and that was the thing. We booked it for me because I wanted it.
Respect.
But, and then my son was accompanying me, but then we switched it, obviously.
It's all good.
and he had a great time. And with the Droid Depot, it's the same thing. You book it, you accompany the person, and you make a droid. And we still have
you either make like a BB-8 or an R2-D2, right? That's kind of the gist.
Yep.
But your own color, yeah, is another variation, right?
Yeah, I felt bad because these experiences are expensive. So it's like, and luckily my daughter wasn't really too into Star Wars like my son was. So she was like, oh yeah, I want to build the robot. I'm like, perfect, we're doing
You're
it.
Like, don't ever call it a robot again. You know? So we got one, so you did one droid and one lightsaber, and then one was super young.
Yes, and
so they also
it.
Have a thing that's like and I can't even say it's cheap, but this is like the poor man's special version of this. You could go into the build your own lightsaber, like you could go into the gift shop and you could sort of like make your own lightsaber. Yes. But the people that worked there were so cool, and they had like a couple like quote unquote Jedi trainers, and we got one for Jacob and Ethan, and it was a fraction of the price, and they still kind of, it wasn't the same, there wasn't the ceremony, but they showed him how to like they like combine the components and make it together, and then they kind of had like a lightsaber battle at the end. It was kind of cute.
Yeah, and that's how they used to do it. But, you know, now all the new Star Wars films came out, so they kind of, and Galaxy's Edge, so they made it a more big to do. Yeah. You know, so now it's no longer just like the little plastic figures that you can put together in the gift shops, which are still, those are kind of cool too. I have one of those as well.
I respect all of it. And then you can sort of take them apart and put them in your suitcases, but good luck with that. The other thing that you have is, yeah. So we have Star Wars, we're talking about some of this stuff. The Toy Story. Do you want to jump in?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Toy Story Mania. You can't go to Hollywood Studios without checking out Toy Story.
So this was
Mania,
like,
you know,
for whatever reason, both of the Toy Story rides in Disney, the one that's at this park and the one that's at Magic Kingdom, they're both interactive, like fun, gamey kind of things. So in this one is also another thing where like you're shooting into targets and then you get points in that for doing that. And it's kind of fun. We enjoy that. It's another great family one. It takes a while. Sometimes that ride gets really long, so we use the pass for that one.
Were you able to beat Jacob?
I was the adult that had to sit back and not shoot in that ride. So, yeah, because, like, we were trying to get everybody in the ride, and, like, it would have been ideal. Like, it's really set up for, like, one gunner and one, like, adult, but because we have five of us, I was like, I will sit here and you will shoot and I will just watch you. But it's all right. Exactly. But they had fun. It was still a lot of fun. How about you? Did you get to shoot on that one?
Yeah, I think I was the same. I was the step
the daddy
dad.
Donkey that carries all the stuff.
I can't participate. Yes, I can't
exactly
participate.
Yeah, so daddy over donkey. There now, keep in mind too that over in that same section too, there's alien swirling saucers. It's a teacup ride. Is it exciting? I don't know. We did it. The other thing that's over there now, listen, Slinky Dog, it looks terrifying if you're not a roller coaster person, but I will say, as shocking as it sounds, Ethan was talking up the idea of going to roller coaster. Slinky Dog was the first roller coaster the kid went on. Some people get fearful of it because, like a spring, it like pretends to pull you back and then shoots you forward. It's so smooth that as a first roller coaster, it wasn't crazy. There were some moments where you get pushed to the side and you kind of feel it, but it was a great first roller coaster if your kids are kind of thinking about it. That roller coaster led to us really enjoying the Seven Doors roller coaster at Magic Kingdom that we ended up booking when we went back to that, and it was well worth it, but it wouldn't have been worth it if we weren't sure if he would have liked roller coasters or not. So I know this sounds weird. It does look a little scary, but if your kid is thinking about a roller coaster, the smoothness of Slinky Dog seems to outweigh the drops and how high it is, if that makes any sense. I don't know if it does or not.
Yeah, it does. And honestly, I love Slinky Dog too. And the only thing that scared me with all the roller coasters, because I accompanied my daughter mostly on the roller coasters, mm-hmm. my wife went with my son. And my daughter's just like, she's got a smaller build, smaller figure. So like, I felt at times that, and even though she met the height requirements, you know, I thought she was going to come flying out of the seat. So like, I was like that overprotective parent that kind of like had my arm over right. her bar just to like hold her down, you know? So I don't know. I just got so scared with her because she's so small, but she was like, I want to go on every roller coaster. This is amazing. And I'm like, oh my God. Right?
Oh, you man, so, and it's crazy.
I don't know if you experienced that maybe with, like, Ethan or Jacob or...
No, Noah it wasn't so whatever, bad. Like, but, there was definitely that feeling, but I only went on with Ethan, so maybe it was a little bit more, you know, because he was 8 at the time, so he's a little bit bigger, but, yeah. you know, I could totally get that. As I look at this list, I totally, like, yeah. surprised myself in messing up here. We left out Tron, which was at Magic Kingdom. We didn't ride Tron.
Oh, yeah.
Tron is the one that you can kind of reserve your spot. It's really high up. People feel like it's better at nighttime. The ride is supposed to be really short. The cool part about it is like how you hold on to this bike and it'll end up with lower back pain. And then you book it at 2 times a day for the virtual queue. That's something we forgot. I apologize. Do you want anything to that?
Yeah, you know why though? But when I was in Disney, they were just building Tron,
okay.
so I never even got to experience it. So that's why I like slipped my mind, because like I've never got to experience.
Okay, and the other
Tron.
One was,
and I it seems
yes,
cool.
And then the other one we left out was Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. That was Epcot. I realize that now as I was going through my list. Okay. I apologize. That's another one. This one is supposed to be mind-boggling cool. Some people feel like this one would make them throw up. Some people don't feel like it gets them sick. It's basically a traditional roller coaster, but the difference is that each of the things you sit in is independently moving. So like, instead of you being in a long row of cars where you're all facing one direction, each of the sections of the little car thingies move independently. It's supposed to be that you're going through warp tunnels. So like, you might be going straight through an area and all of a sudden your whole cart turns sideways and it's in the dark and it's all these crazy lights. People say it's completely mind blowing and the music's incredible and it changes every time you go on it for like up to 6 different songs, whatever it is. So, I messed up. I left that out. I apologize, but it's supposed to be really good. Back.
And what about the Haunted Mansion? Did you ever experience that in Hollywood Studios?
In Hollywood Studios? Oh, no, we didn't. No, we did not do it.
I mean, not the Haunted Mansion.
The Tower
it's
of Terror.
It's called the Tower we of did Terror. Not. But it's... It is a haunted man. It's kind of like a haunted
You get
mansion,
random floors, right? Like it drops to certain floors you don't know what you're going to get.
Right. So, like, I don't know if you, I don't know if you've gone on it before, but it was a nostalgia factor for me because we had to go back. I went when I was younger and I got scared. I couldn't do it when I was younger. So I was like, I'm conquering it this time. Yeah, now it's time. And, you know, they take you all the way to the top. They open the doors. You see out like, the whole park. And then it's like, goodbye.
And you get dropped to a random floor. I mean, not random, but you get dropped to a different floor. Like, every time you ride it, could be a different floor, right?
Yeah, with, like, ghosts and stuff, yeah.
So, from what I understand, in California, that's their version of the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. So they do, like, the Haunted Mansion, but it's done to Guardians of the Galaxy, but to say, or the Tower of Terror thing. I heard it was good. We didn't do it, so I can't speak to it. But I'm glad that you mentioned that. Two other quick things to mention. Muppet 3D, if you don't like Muppets, it's not for you. If you do like Muppets, my spirit animals are Statler and Waldorf, so it was kind of my jam. But it's a 3D ride. It's kind of fun. You meet the characters. They do a song. You know, like the Swedish chef is there. They throw a fish at you. It's great. It's kind of fun. So we love that. One of the rides I will say is more of like a show is probably one of the most fun things that we did the entire time in Hollywood Studios, maybe not including Star Wars, was the Frozen sing-along. Now, you would probably say to yourself, why would I want to subject myself to this? It is very, very well written. It's comedy gold. The characters make a lot of funny comments and things to each other. They're like two random side characters that bring you through the story of Frozen, done in a very funny way. And it's kind of cool. They sing the main songs. Like, there's a person dressed up like Elsa. Which one's Elsa? Is Elsa the one that sings I'll Let It Go? Anna and Elsa, that's right. They're walking around. But the two side characters are the ones that tell the story. There's like snowflakes that come from the ceiling. The kids love it. It's really fun. I think it's worth doing. And it's air conditioning. So I think that is definitely a good thing to do.
That's always
did
a
your,
win.
Did your kids like the Frozen sing-along? Yeah.
We never got to it. I think we ran out of time for Frozen sing-along for us.
So yeah. Then I will say we probably left out a couple things, but those are the things that stood out to us. Mike, did I leave anything out of Hollywood Studios for rides that you want to mention?
I mentioned all my Star Wars rides, and that was number
so then
one.
For for this is kind of bizarre, so just keep this in the back of your mind. When you are at Hollywood Studios, this is where we sort of messed up, but it still worked out okay. There are sort of like two end-of-the-night celebrations. One of them that you think is the end-of-the-night celebration, if you don't know better, is where they project different movies and like Disney-owned properties like Indiana Jones and Guardians of the Galaxy and all these like scenes on a big building. Is it cool? I guess so. But that's not the end of the night show. The celebration happens in the amphitheater, and you have to book it there. And the amphitheater is the thing I was mentioning earlier, that there's like a dinner package where you could like get like a seat and food. You're really paying for the seat, and then you have like a set spot. If not, you kind of like have to do stroller parking, and then you're carrying your kids, and you're running to a spot. You're trying to get to a certain spot, and it was hot and stressful. Didn't love the experience of getting there because we knew we were going to be leaving early, but it was really, really cool. And it's scary. And one of the things is it's basically, if you think of like Mickey Mouse is like the Fantasia character, and there's like, it's in an amphitheater, and in front of the amphitheater is like a water area, and then there's like a land area. And somehow, I don't know how they do this, they shoot like big, huge sprays of water up in the air, and they're able to like project video onto the water as it's jumping through the air. And there's a crazy thing of like Mickey Mouse as a Fantasia character trying to battle like the dragon from Cinderella or Beauty and the Beast, or not Beauty and the Beast, what is it? Is it Cinderella? No, not Cinderella. Snow White. That's got the evil dragon witch lady, and it's got all this stuff, and like it's got like combinations of like Moana and all these other things, and they're all represented in this crazy, awesome people/animation/water/lights and fireworks. At the end, they battle the dragon. A little scary. We grabbed the kid and started walking because we wanted to like get them home at some point because they're getting tired. But it's very cool. It's probably of the nighttime things, with the exception of the Magic Kingdom grand celebration that like is basically the beginning of every Disney movie, like Mike said. The Hollywood Studios end of the night thing there at the whole Fantasmic is pretty cool.
Love Fantastic.
I don't even know if I did it justice. Did that kind of like, it's like a whole story, right? It kind of maybe.
Yeah, it's no. That's exactly what it is. A little story that just brings it all together and kind of ends the night.
And you're like rooting for Mickey. You're like, come on, you know, come on, get through. You can do it. You are Moana.
You can make it.
All right. We know that this is a long episode. We're at a 127 right now. What is that supposed to mean? That's a fancy schmancy talk. We're going to speak briefly about Animal Kingdom. I've never been there. Mike's going to tell us a couple things. We have a couple recommendations from some friends. And then we're going to finish it off with some of the offsite things as well. So this is probably going to be closer to 2-hour episode, but I'm going to put the I'm going to try to put timestamps in the show notes. So in case you're not interested in a certain park or whatever else. And then my apologies about Guardians of the Galaxy and Tron. All right, Mike Levine, take us away for Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, so for Animal Kingdom, you know, I'm just going to make this quick because we want to, you know, Animal Kingdom is a great experience and that you should definitely go see. But keep in mind, it's like, it's just a bigger, more cooler zoo, I would say. So, you know, when you go to Disney, you're looking to experience all those Disney things, you know, the rides, the foods over there. You know, can you go to a zoo around where you live? Yeah, but it's not the Animal Kingdom Zoo.
It's like their version of like an African safari.
Just keep that in mind. It's not for everybody, but we definitely wanted to experience it, especially because the number one thing I think you have to see at Animal Kingdom is the Pandora, the World of Avatar, like area. That is really cool. There's two great rides on there. The Avatar Flight of Passage and the Navi River Journey, which the Navi River Journey is, it's just a boat ride with like these bioluminescent rainforest areas, you know, and you see all these creatures and things. It's really, really cool. But even cooler than that is the Avatar Flight of Passage. And if you've ever seen the movie, it's like riding one of those in the movie.
Yeah, there's like pterodactyl things.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like those pterodactyl things. So you like get on
two,
like
two New Yorkers tell you podcast. You know those two pterodactyl things. I love it.
You get on like this bike, and there's this big like screen in front of you, like an IMAX screen, and they do a great job with that immersiveness of just putting you in there, making you feel like you're flying on these creatures with the wind, the screen. Everything looks real. Really fun ride. Definitely, if you get motion sickness, I would steer away from this one. It's very like all over the place. Like you're dipping, you're diving, you're turning, it's a lot. So, but it's fun. But also, not just the rides, the area itself. Like in the movies, there were these things called the floating mountains. So when you walk into Pandora, the way they built these mountains, it looks like they're floating in air. It's really cool. And it's the scenery itself is just something, is just like an attraction that you have to see. So definitely if you go to Animal Kingdom, it's a big zoo, but it has things like Pandora with some rides. It has other rides as well. I love also that when I took my kids there, they did this Wilderness Explorers thing where if you've ever seen the movie Up. Is it Up? Yeah, the wilderness must be explored. Yeah, that guy, Russell. Russell, all right, goes on his adventure to get his patches. So the kids in Animal Kingdom, they go on their adventure across all the different
those
areas.
Those dirty dogs.
Like Discovery.
They find more ways.
like Discovery Island, Africa,
that's cool.
Asia, and you go looking for your wilderness badges and things like that. So that's definitely cool. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is Dinosaur Land. Like, oh my God, I have to talk about Dinosaur Land because my son is a dinosaur advocate, loves dinosaurs, wants to bring them back from the dead, like wants to create Jurassic Park. And the thing at Animal Kingdom is there's this Dinosaur Land where we go on in Dinosaur Land, we go on a ride called, I think it's just called Dinosaur. And it's definitely an old school ride, like around the time when Jurassic Park was made, where you do like this time traveling thing and stuff. But my son loved it. And there were all these, I don't know if they were actors or paleontologists or whoever they were, but they knew all this dinosaur trivia. So I remember going when my son was like, 5 years old or six, somewhere around there. And they were just quizzing him on all his dinosaur names and stuff. And he was just getting it all right.
Can't fool me.
And it was so much fun. We had a great time. It's just really cool. If your kids love dinosaurs, definitely check out Animal Kingdom on that
side. And then we got two food recommendations. Yeah, is that okay? Can I just jump those in real fast?
Yeah,
so Bridget, Bridget and Liam always give us advice for this sort of thing. Like I mentioned, they're in our campaign podcast for D&D. Bridget said the Yak and Yeti restaurant was really good. It's kind of like a Nepalese, an Indian kind of flavored restaurant. They have like a unique kind of fun mix of things. The other thing that Liam mentioned was for breakfast is the Boma Buffet breakfast is a killer way to try like a bunch of different kinds of foods. that's like a fun like mix of different international foods. It's another one too. The Boma Buffet and the Yak and Yeti.
Ooh, yummy.
Ooh,
yeah,
yummy.
There was this Yeti ride that's, I forgot what it's called, but it seems to be broken down like every time we went. I don't know why it's always broken down, but I think when I was younger, I went on and it was so cool. But Yeti, I don't know.
always broken down.
I'm going to put you on the spot. I don't know if you remember it because I don't know what it is. I never went to Animal Kingdom. We decided to do the 2 days of Magic Kingdom instead because we were like, oh, that's the park that has the, you know, the Avatar ride and a bunch of animals. But the what is the nighttime celebration at Animal Kingdom? Do you remember?
So the nighttime celebration, I believe, like, was lighting up the tree with, like, animal spirits and things like that. But I think they discontinued it back in, like, 2020. So I don't know if they do an end of the show or nighttime thing anymore at Animal Kingdom. I'm sure they do. But I remember it was, like, something with the tree in the middle. There's this big world tree thing right in the middle, smack dab of Animal Kingdom. You could see it as soon as you get to the kingdom, like before even entering the gates, you could see the tree. It's just
is it Avatar related or is it something else?
It up. No, not Avatar related. Totally just like the world tree. I think it was like Lion King related, like back in the day when they created.
You know, you play on my heartstrings, man. So what do you say we jump over to, is it cool with you? We jump over to the, because they're getting a little long. Should we jump over to the offsite stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right. So I hate to be this way because I'm like, we didn't do Animal Kingdom. It's just a bunch of animals. I don't know, but people really like it. So you got to look it up and see what, you know, what you're really into. So some of the stuff that we're going to talk about now are offsite, meaning they're like not at one of the parks, if that kind of makes sense. So Disney Springs used to be called Downtown Disney. That's one that has like basically restaurant shops. It's a glorified outdoor mall with a bunch of cool restaurants and stuff. So keep that in mind. It's big. You could take a bus there. You could take a bus from the resorts. There's like 35 different parking spots for the buses. So you're going to sweat a lot as you walk inside and walk back to your bus. It's cool. But the couple things that jump out are, and Mike, please jump in, Gideon's Bakehouse. They are well known for their ridiculous, oversized, you know, amazing cookies. Because, like, you know how it is now. Like, cupcakes used to be the thing. Now cookies are. They have, like, these ridiculously over-the-top, amazing cookies. What they even do is when the lines get ridiculously long, they have virtual queues where you could, like, hop on your phone and join the queue to get a spot to buy cookies. We got lucky. We went, like, a random time. We were able to try them. We got three. We brought them back to the hotels, and we ate them one night, and they were good. Another thing that was kind of fun is if you guys – it is – oh, Morimoto. That's the guy. Morimoto is the Iron Chef. They have a good – if you're into ramen, you want a little ramen break. I think I say ramen once an episode. Morimoto's is pretty good for ramen. We didn't go to it because it's not really made for kids. Now, listen, don't get this confused. There's two Enzo's restaurants. One of them is lackluster Italian food. The other one, bad chicken parmesan. If you go to Enzo's Hideaway, Enzo's Hideaway is not for kids. It is meant to be like a speakeasy. That's the one that has upscale food and it's really good. That's one that if you're going to try to like get a good like nighttime date, maybe like for you and the wife, for you and the spouse, you and the person you're dating, you and your friend that wants to eat some food, that might be a good one to go to. The other ones that I can't remember the name exactly, the dude that was Oprah's chef, there's a Southern restaurant that's supposed to be really good. We couldn't get into it. Oprah Chef, Downtown Disney. Let's see if I could find it. Oh, Chef Art Smith. Wow, good job, internet. Chef Art Smith Homecoming is Southern comfort food. If you want like fried chicken, if you want mac and cheese, if you want all that good, like happy, you know, eat it and then go take a nap. That's a great place from what we were reading about. We just couldn't get into it. All right. So that is basically what I have down for Disney Springs. Mike, is there anything in downtown?
I do have to mention.
Is it the dinosaur one? Is it the volcano?
It is the Rainforest Cafe. Rainforest Cafe.
It's infamous. Even if you don't like dinosaurs,
it's you have to go there. You have to. It's a cool place to eat. I mean, it's separated into like I don't know if it's like four eras or like, you know, within like the prehistoric times. But like there's like this cold ice era, there's like this fire era, and like within each section there's all these different like animatronic things that are doing different things. And if you look up at the sky or at the roof of the restaurant, you see like
A volcano.
Like a big screen. Yeah, no, it's like a big screen with like a meteor and like all these different like, yeah, like.
Wait, all the dinosaurs eat it once a day?
Don't eat it.
Oh, I said it was like.
It's like a, no, it's a big meteor, like the meteor, I guess, that took out the dinosaurs, yeah, but like it's. Yeah, you know what's
they're like, oh, and that's how they—that's how the destruction of the dinosaurs went.
Yeah, but it's.
But
really
I thought
cool.
you were going to talk about the volcano on the outside.
You should eat there. The volcano on the outside's just—it doesn't do anything. It's just there. It's really
yeah,
cool.
But when you have a four-year-old that's freaked out about fire from the first ride you went on, we were walking along, and every 10 minutes, this thing is blasting off fire. We're not talking Universal this episode, but if we ever do, there's a whole thing with Harry Potter where this is dragon and breathes fire. Noah was freaked out, so we're like, "No more fire! Don't worry, no more dragons or fire." The whole trip, we get to downtown or Disney Springs, and there is a volcano pumping out heat and fire every 10 minutes. It was
fire.
Out of control.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh my
that's
god!
Great.
What?
But definitely, they got some great. They got some good food there, and it's low key. It's not anything fine dining, so it's definitely it's not budget friendly either. I don't think anything is really, but you know, it's definitely a good
one
time.
Thing that is there. I know this is like sort of random. My wife had this done years and years and years ago with her grandparents. They got the what's the word for it? Where they do like just the shape of your body, like the black and white. The silhouette, holy schmoly. They do like a silhouette cutout of like the shape of you. It's almost like a silhouette portrait. So they do that of like, like almost like a silhouette portrait where you can go into one of these little shops and have it done. You could get frames and you would bring them home. We got the silhouettes done for our kids. Was it worth it? I don't know. Nostalgia. My wife did it. So we did it too. It was kind of cool, honestly, but it took about an hour and they did that whole thing. All right, cool. Check that off the list. The other thing that was really cool from offsite stuff is Bridget recommended this one, is the Disney Port Orleans Resort. You could take it by boat, you could take a bus, whatever else it is. If you're at Magic Kingdom, you could get to the main Magic Kingdom entrance and then you could like take a boat over there, or you could just like whatever, hop on like the monorail. They're the ones that are famous for the Mickey Mouse beignets. So if you want the New Orleans feel, you don't want to tack on another trip to New Orleans to get some beignets. And I'm sure there's a lot to New Orleans besides just eating. There's, of course, there's music, jazz, and red beans and rice, everything else. But if you were going for the Disney version, you can go to the Disney Port Orleans restaurant, get your Mickey beignets there. If you want to have a character breakfast. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, after doing this, I don't really liked it. I didn't really think I liked it because of the problems with it. The Contemporary Hotel, which is that ridiculously strange triangular-shaped hotel that's really expensive, they're the one that has the place where you can dine with the characters for breakfast. It's called Chef Mickey. You will see this advertised somewhere in the app. If you want to do Chef Mickey's, what you could do is you could take transport to the Magic Kingdom, and then you could take a monorail or a bus to the Contemporary. The Contemporary Hotel has the Chef Mickey. We booked this one a few weeks before. We were waiting for a spot to open up. We finally got it. We had like a breakfast book time at like, I don't know what it was, like 10:15. We got there in time. We're waiting. We didn't get sat for like an hour and a half late. It was insane. By time we sat down, my kids were so overly hungry and done for, because parents, you know what that's like, that it was kind of a disaster. What it is basically like a humongous breakfast buffet. They have like, you know, some lunchy stuff, like meats and stuff. They have like waffles and eggs and lox and all that kind of random stuff. And then they have like the different Mickey Mouse characters will be dressed up in like cooking outfits, and then they kind of come to your tables. I will say that after having gone through the one at Epcot, the garden one, and having gone through this buffet, if the buffet was like on time and we got sat, maybe it would be a different story. But the mayhem and the hunger and all the craziness, I will say that it was a little like, you know, like sensory overload with all the kids screaming and yelling and bouncing around and kids running, like standing on the seats. And it was like, what is happening right now? It was cool. If you want to do one experience, I know people like that one. The food was pretty good, but for the time commitment, any of these things we're mentioning, you don't do it on a park day. You do it on an off day because you're going to burn through a big chunk of your day doing these things. Did you do the Chef Mickey or any of this craziness? There you go. You're smart.
We didn't. We didn't. But I think it just goes back to what we were saying. It's like, you know, take a look at what you want to do, what your family wants to do, plan it out, and try to hit as much as you
can.
And
I think,
because your time is so limited.
I think you said it the best. That's it. Plan it out. Look what you want to do. And listen, you are not going to get to everything. For example, it might rain and then you might not be able to take a ride or something might be shut down.
Yeah.
Keep in mind your top five rides for each park. If you have your top five and you are set out to get on those five rides and you set forth and you conquered, you pat yourself on the back because you did a wonderful job and you got through some of the big ones. And if you don't get on like a random teacup ride or whatever else, it's going to be okay. Your life's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
All right. So I think it's time for us to start wrapping this bad boy up. We have the question this week. What are the rides or parks that you are most excited to go on? Or what snacks and foods have you been most excited to try? We'd love to hear from you if you'd like to answer this question or have a comment for the show. You can leave us a message on our Hey the Parents voicemail line at 559-LAY-KIDS or 559-537-5437. Two, you can email the show at heytheparents@gmail.com, or you can join us on Instagram or Blue Sky with the username HeyOtherParents. So I'll tell you what, I think we are well over time for this episode, but it was time well spent. We'd like to take this moment to thank our listeners and supporters for donating to the show. If you want to help support this show so we can keep making shows like this one, we have a link to donate to the show in the show notes. If you don't have the means to do so, we hope and we ask that you can tell your friends, your family about our podcast so we can reach more listeners like you, or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We can't wait to explore this parenting thing again with you next week on Hey the Parents, because the three of us and all of you. Don't forget to hug your kids and charge those Chromebooks. That's new for me and for Mike, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, the Parents is produced by Mike Levine, Sarah Deserbeans, and me, Michael Height. I edit and mix our show. Our intro voice recording was done by the one and only Coltrane. If you like our show, we hope you'll consider going to our show notes to help supporting the podcast. Find us online at Instagram and Blue Sky at Hey the Parents, or send us an email at heytheparents@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.